Dr. Mark Mattis, one of the brighter young theologians, Lutheran theologians in America today, one whom we had teach here a few years ago, has written a devotion book or a book of devotions called Imaging the Journey. It just came out this month. And for our devotion this morning, we're going to hear the devotion titled Forgiven, Free. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. We are apt to think that St. Paul is exaggerating. In our enlightened 21st century, we are quick to name death as natural. However, if it is so natural, then why does it evoke guilt? With death, we can never make good on our responsibilities, nor can others make good on their responsibilities to us. Death closes out our commitments. It evokes guilt. 4 decades ago, Carl Menninger asked, "Whatever became of sin?" The question is even more relevant today. It seems that Americans are not sinners. Instead, we are victims of abuse, not perpetrators. When that mindset takes root, the gospel is perverted from being an emancipation proclamation that sets us free from sin, death, and the accusing law into a self-help program for coping in a stressful world. Or it is touted as the blueprint for constructing an ideal world where peace and justice or true morality will incontestably reign. Is it possible that our officially optimistic society is wrong in trivializing sin? Whistling in the dark will not make the darkness disappear. We can get a clue about the power of sin when we look at death. There is certainly enough death to go around. Even young people are taking their own lives as well as others. Can we really separate sin from death? True, sin is its own punishment, but that only reinforces the relation between sin and death. Sin is death, and not only the crime that is punished with death. Far from being natural, death is guilt made visible, as Catholic theologian Karl Rahner put it. Martin Luther distinguished between the death God works, which is God's just punishment on sinners who all deserve death, from the death that God finds, which is the cycle of violence and retaliation that we constantly perpetrate on each other and through which God punishes us. Insofar as we sin, as we inescapably will, we cannot avoid either one of these deaths. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. Into the death that God is working and the death that God finds, Jesus Christ is born, is one with us, and is made a sinner for us. Through this, God effectuates the grand reversal. Jesus' death is the death of death. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is no theory to explain this at-one-ment, atonement. Instead, God simply chooses sinners to be one with him. Our sin in all its ugliness is not the last word or power, nor is death. No, the last word is from Jesus' lips. It is finished. And within that sentence is a new beginning, the promise of a new heaven and a new earth that shall come. In Jesus Christ, God looks at us through his Son. In God's strange but joyous economic system, our death is exchanged for Christ's life, our unrighteousness for his righteousness, our despair for his joy. We are liberated in the words, "I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of your sins." The Son makes you free. And if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Lord, free us from the disfiguring power of sin that is ever present in our lives. Heal our brokenness, lift our spirits, and set our sights on you. Let the liberating power of your forgiving grace fill us with new life. Amen.